call an update of implementation of those priorities that we presented to the portfolio committee in August, and just to indicate how far we are in terms of implementing the act. And these are the, in this slide we are showing the priorities for 2021-2022 financial year, which we included in the 5-year plan. And at the time when we were presenting to the portfolio committee, we also presented on how far we are in terms of implementing these priorities. So I won't go through them. I'll skip this slide because I'll be presenting on each and every priority in the following slide. In terms of the workshops on the TKLA for the National Quezon Council and for provincial officials, at the time when we indicated that we workshopped the National Quezon Council on the Act, and the emphasis of the workshops, though we covered the whole TKLA, but the emphasis of the workshop were on those sections of the Act that relate to the Quezon communities and leaders. And the focus also was on the application process for recognition of Quezon communities and the leaders. And we, at the time when we were presenting, already we had done the workshops. And in terms of the provincial officials, at the time we indicated that we workshopped, I think, 6 of the 9 provinces at the time. And today we'll be giving an update also on how far we are. And we have since workshopped all the 9 provinces. So the outstanding 3 have been workshopped by end of October 2021. We also held workshops with the secretaries of the national and provincial houses before the end of the 2021-2022, so that they assist the houses in terms of implementation of the act. And in terms of the capacity building workshops, we convened workshops with the kings and the queens, 8 kingships to be exact, and 1 queenship, on the content of the TKLA and the implications thereof to the kingships and the queenships. And we also workshopped, because we then established immediately after the commencement of the act, we established a partnership with the local government CETA and with Deloitte for the induction program for traditional leaders and their structures. And when we were presenting to the portfolio committee, we just indicated that we had a workshop. So today we can report that we had those 450 traditional leaders in provinces workshopped, except for the Eastern Cape. And Honorable Telizet asked a question there, and we will respond at the time when we take the questions. And because one of the functions of structures of traditional leadership or the council in terms of the act is that they must administer the affairs of their communities. In that induction program or in a separate program, we also included, or as a capacity building program for traditional leaders, we included workshops on gender-based violence and femicide. And as we are reporting now, we, in partnership with the Commission for Gender Equality, we had workshopped 8 provincial houses of traditional leaders in that regard. And on the priority, talking to the establishment of the Commission on Quezon Matters, at the time the Commission had not yet been established, and we reported that there are processes underway to establish the commission, and today we can report that the commission has since been established by the minister, and they commenced on the 1st of September 2021. The chairperson of the commission is Professor Nico Adam Guafa, and we are also indicating who is the deputy chairperson and who are the members of the commission in this slide. And in this slide, I'm going to skip it because it's not necessarily a progress report. It's just to indicate what will be the, because as the committee may be aware, the core mandate of the commission is to process, investigate, is to receive applications, process, investigate, and do research on each and every application. And they will be using the criteria as it appears, qualification criteria for a community to be recognized as a qualified community and for a person to be recognized as a senior qualified leader or a branch head. So in this slide and the following slide, we are just showing the criteria that a person should meet or the community should meet in order to be recognized as a qualified community or leader. So I'm skipping also slide 10. And in this slide, we are also just indicating what should happen in terms of the application and in terms of what will be regarded as the main community, and that it will have some smaller communities situated in other areas. So I'll also skip it because it's not necessarily the progress report. So the progress report in terms of the work of the commission starts from slide number 12, and we are saying after its establishment or after the commission commenced from the 1st of September 2021, they developed an application form, and as required in terms of the Act, that application form was published in that government notice there by the minister, and the application form has both an Afrikaans and an English version. And they can be accessed from or requested from that email address. And the application opens from the 30th of March 2022, and they will, that period for receiving applications is 2 years, and the closing date for applications will be the 29th of March 2024. And from the 30th of March to date, the commission received 15 applications, or let me say as of the 31st of May 2022, they have received 15 applications for recognition of the Khoisan communities, branches, Khoisan leaders, and the branches. And in this slide, we are just outlining the process I already indicated about what will happen after an application has been received. The commission will then conduct an investigation and research, and those who the commission will see as qualified in terms of the criteria provided for the Act, they will be recommended to the minister for a decision and for their recognition either as Khoisan communities or branches or senior Khoisan leaders or branch heads. And it is required of the commission to finalize the application within their term, which is 5 years. So the committee is currently working on the 15 applications that they have received, and all the due processes that I have indicated will then follow. And just to indicate that because of those processes that they must do from the 30th of March 2022 after they received the first application, they should then all those processes, they take longer because they must do the research and the investigation. So as of now, there is no recognition of any Khoisan community branch or senior Khoisan leader or branch head, because they are still working on analyzing the 15 that they have received and undertaking the necessary processes. In this slide, we are indicating that because the Khoisan, or let me just say communities, because we don't know who is a Khoisan community as of now, or a Khoisan leader as of now, but the way communities that expressed or requested that the commission must conduct the awareness campaigns to educate them and empower them on the application process, on the application forms, and on the criteria for qualification and the whole process. So the commission then launched to respond to that call. They then launched their awareness campaign on the 25th of March 2022, and then following that they started with the individual provincial awareness campaign from the 12th of March. And to date, they held the awareness campaigns in 7 provinces. And I'm going to skip slide number 16, because we're just indicating there the awareness campaigns and the dates for each and every province. And another priority that we identified in terms of implementation of the Act was on the legal constitution of traditional councils, and the Act provides that all traditional councils should have been legally constituted by the 31st of March 2023. And we then, or before that can happen, the minister must issue a formula for determining the number of members of a traditional council in a government gazette, which was done on the 4th of February 2022. And after that, what we then did, which was another priority which we presented to the portfolio committee in August last year, was to come up with guidelines for the constitution of traditional councils. And these guidelines, they indicate the activities that provinces should undertake to constitute traditional councils. And because the Act indicates that there will be a selected component which constitutes 60% of the membership of the council, and they should be 40% members of the council, which will constitute the 40% elected component. The guidelines, they indicate those activities, but those are the minimum or what is required in terms of the activities. But provinces could go beyond those activities, but those were the key activities that are required for the 60% selected component and the 40% selected component. So we submitted, we requested provinces to use those guidelines, but for them to add other activities that may be required to develop their project plans for the constitution of traditional councils. And all provinces, they submitted, they developed their project plans in this regard and submitted it to the department, and they committed to constitute their traditional councils by the time frame specified in the Act. And based on these project plans with these many activities from each and every province, then the department then developed the national schedule for constitution of traditional council, and on a quarterly basis. But this schedule, the content thereof comes from the different project plans. And we monitor the schedule on a quarterly basis, but sometimes we do it whenever it is required. We don't really wait for the end of the quarter to check how far provinces are. And when we monitor, we look at what the province has provided for in terms of the activities in their project plan, and we check how far they are in terms of what's being provided in their home as project plan. The other priority was the formula for determining the number of members of kinship, queenship and principal traditional councils. And after the constitution of traditional councils, then there will be the constitution of kinship, queenship and principal traditional councils. Hence, we also prioritize this particular formula, and similarly, the minister must issue the formula for members of for determining members of kinship, queenship and the principal traditional councils. And we have drafted the formula, and the minister has consulted with the premiers, and in terms of the act, the minister must consult with the queens, and there are two forums that are provided for in section 60, subsection 2 of the act. So the minister as of now has consulted with those kinship that have established their two forums as required by the act. And those kinships where there are kings and queens, because some of the kinships they are the kings. And then the other priority, which was for 2022-2023 financial year, was the same formula, but for members of the Khoisan councils. We have not yet developed that formula, but we are planning to have a draft formula by the end of June. And then in terms of the act, the minister must consult with the premiers on that formula, but of course we will also have other consultations with relevant stakeholders. And on the legal constitution of just maybe to indicate that to the committees that in terms of the act, the terms of office of the local houses ended the 30th of April 2022, and the term of office of all provincial houses ended 31st May 2022, and the term of office of the national house was ending on the 30th of June 2022. And this is a priority for the department for the 2022-2023 financial year, and we also wrote to provinces and communicated to the provinces that the minister has done that they must start establishing their local houses after their term has ended, and also to establish their provincial houses. And all provinces, of course with the exception of the Free State, they would have constituted their houses by the 20th of June 2022. And we're saying if the Free State would manage to constitute, then all the local and the provincial houses would have constituted their houses by the 20th of June. And the national house may be able to be constituted by the 5th of July 2022. And in the next slide, we are just providing a progress report per province, and I won't be going through this. Suffice to say, the Northern Cape has constituted all their local houses and their provincial house, and had already submitted the names of the members that will constitute the 2022-2027 national house. And when we were submitting the report, Chairperson, it was before we checked with provinces. Some of the provinces received that the date had already passed. So I'll just be updating as I present. And with the Eastern Cape, they constituted their local houses. We were informed that they constituted their local houses on the 1st of June. And they will constitute on the 9th of June, but to save time, I won't go through dates, because they are very clear on the in the two slides. I'll go to slide number 14. And another priority that we had based on the engagements with the portfolio committee, but also based on the challenges in the sector for the 2022-2023 financial year, was that because the sector is faced with many traditional leadership disciplines, so empowered by the section of the TKLA that says the minister may issue regulations on any matter in the TKLA, we then identified, we analyzed the Act, and we identified those sections of the Act that talk to identification of traditional and quasi leaders, their recognition and their withdrawal. It's where mostly the artists in those sections. So we prioritized that and we have drafted the regulations. So we have those draft regulations which we did towards the end of the financial year, the 2021-2022 financial year, and we have started with the consultation. And in terms of the Act, the minister must consult with the MECs responsible for traditional affairs in provinces and as well as the provincial houses. And that is those are the processes that we are planning. And that will be the end of our presentation in Chakalasa. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Immediately would take hands from honorable members. I see the hand of honorable Brink. Honorable Spies. Can I allow you to speak, honorable Brink?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Again, my internet connection is not great. Please permit me to leave my camera off. Chairperson, the first question I would want to ask is whether there is any indication of significant disputes. I know it is fairly early. We now have the Commission. They have to apply a certain criteria of recognition. And then interim structures, but is there an early indication that there will be disputes over this recognition process, and if so, what contingency measures are being put in place? The second question, Chairperson, is whether some sort of a calculation has been done about the financial implications of four provinces resulting from this legislation, and if it has been done, whether this committee can be provided with those details, because I presume that provinces will now have to make budgetary provision for the compensation or the remuneration of traditional leaders, a whole new class of traditional leaders. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh.
Over to you, Honorable Space.
Chair, do I have permission to just keep my video off?
You are allowed.
Thank you so much. I only have two questions, Chair. The first one, Chair, is that the date of May for the Khoisan Council as we've heard, expired in April. So I would just like to know who is representing then the Khoisan communities in the interim whilst the process for leadership identification is happening. I also want to know that or not. Now I want to ask that the Commission on the Khoisan Matters must advertise their public participation processes to all stakeholders. And in, I'm asking this because I'm asking it on the basis of wanting to know which database are they using and how do they ensure that all organizations are indeed invited. And then also the last one, Chair, is that obviously it said that the Commission has budget constraints. So I would like to suggest that the province or the councils or the mayors where the meetings will take place, that maybe they should assist with issues like the venues and those kind of things and refreshments, because people travel far in their provinces to get to these meetings, Chair. And then just a question I was asked in general in my engagement with the Khoisan communities is that there's always this concern that, you know, are the people representing the Khoisan communities, are they actually the real descendants of the Khoisan? And I know that's a very deeper discussion, but it's always a question that comes up, that, you know, whether these individuals have the proper knowledge of customary law of the Khoisan and its people. But that's my question, Chair, and I want to also excuse from the meeting. I need to attend a meeting with my mother's doctor. She had a stroke last week. Thank you. So if I can be excused after this, and Honorable Bing will just obviously listen to the responses and give me feedback. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Khalid.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks for the presentation from the department. My question goes as follows. Chair, in the previous progress report to the Constitutional Committee dated 18 August 2021, the department indicated that it had developed a 5-year schedule for the implementation of the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Act starting from 2021-2022 financial year to 2024-2025. Is a copy of this schedule available to the community to enable it to monitor whether the reported implementation progress is consistent with the commitments made in the implementation schedule? Number two, Chair, the gazetted date from which Khoisan communities and leaders may lodge applications for recognition with the Commission on Khoisan Matters is 30 March 2022. Out of the 15 applications received thus far, how many of these meet the criteria for recognition as contemplated in Section 5 of the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Act? The last date of which applications for recognition may be received is 29 March 2024. How will the department deal with the applications that come after 29 March 2024? Will the Commission not accept applications after the closing date, even if there are valid reasons for late application? The department indicates that the minister gazetted on the 4th February 2022 the formula for the determination the number of members of traditional council is to enable provinces to proceed with the constitution and reconstitution of traditional council, which with a view to ensuring that all traditional councils are legally constituted by the legislative date of 1 April 2023, which is less than a year from now. Can the department finish the portfolio committee with a copy of this gazette as the only gazette that could be found for 4th February 2022 relates to an application for recognition form of Khoisan communities and leaders? Does the department know how many of these countries, 257 municipality councils, have amended their standing rules in order to accommodate this amendment or not? And how many of these countries, 56 tribal or community authorities have been established thus far in line with the requirements of the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Act? Thank you very much, Chair.
That becomes the end of the questions. Maybe I can, on behalf of those who have not asked, ask a general question. The plan looks good and seamless, but it always helps to get a sense as to what challenges and experiences that you come across as you are implementing this plan? That's a general question. I'm asking it for those who have not asked. Can we allow the department to respond?
Honorable Chair, I propose that the DDG starts, and then I'll come in the other questions that have not been responded to. DG Mualadi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, DG. On the question that was raised by Honorable Mutelezi before we did the presentation on how do we monitor and our monitoring approach. As I tried to emphasize on slide 18, what we did, we came up with the guidelines for the 40% elected, the activities that should be undertaken for the 40% elected component of traditional councils, and then also activities that should be undertaken for the 60% selected component, as well as the activities that should be done as preparations for the constitutional traditional councils. So all provinces, they then submitted their project plans indicating activities and when they are going to do those activities. And when we monitor, we took the project plans, and then we came up with one schedule for constitution of traditional councils. And as we monitor provinces based on what they said they are going to do in their own project plans. So that is the approach that we do. And because also there are few, or I can say, the 31st of March 2023 is near, and as indicated by Honorable Mkalipi, what we are now doing is to ask provinces to provide progress reports, not necessarily on a quarterly basis, but whenever we can identify the red flags and the challenges before time, so that if there is a need for intervention, then it is done. And then in terms of the whether there is any indication of the dispute over the question recognition, we won't know now, because the process is still, it is still very early. The process of the commission, so we may not know now, but in terms of the what are the measures that have been put in place, as I was presenting, I indicated that we are drafting regulations that will be dealing with disputes and claims, and those regulations are not limited to traditional leadership. They are regulations that also cover disputes for the Khoi and San. Should there be disputes in that regard. And in terms of the question by Honorable Spees on who is representing the Khoisan communities before the process of recognition is finalized, we are still working with the National Khoisan Council. Hence, I also indicated that we have workshopped them, so we are still working with them. But the Khoi and San obviously have not yet been included in the houses. And on the, I think we welcome the proposal also that when there are these awareness campaigns, we should work with provinces so that they assist in terms of venues and catering, And I know that provinces have been assisting, have been in most instances using state or government business, and yeah, on the catering, I think that's something that we need to be engaging provinces on. And there was also a question on, from Honorable Mkhayipi on the share. I think it was a request that we must share this schedule, and we will indeed share the 5-year schedule, and that we must also share the formula or the gazette on the formula for traditional councils. We will also share that. How many of the 15 applications meet the criteria? I don't have information as of now, because the commission is currently analyzing all the applications. But once we get the information from the commission, then it may be shared. But I'm not sure whether it will not compromise the work of the commission at this stage, but we will be advised. And how will the department how are we going to deal with the application? How will the commission, because everything about the application is dealt with by the commission, how are they going to deal with those that will come after the closing date? I think that would be a matter that they should use the law to address, and if the law agrees with them to extend the closing date, then they will have to issue another government gazette. And yeah, I think that, and then Chairperson, you also indicated what are the challenges that we come across when we implement the plan and the act. Like I indicated in the presentation, there will be certain provinces that do not provide information on time when we request, but in most instances provinces have been providing their information on how far they are with the different priorities that I indicated in terms of implementation of the act. But on the issue of the constitution of the houses, I indicated that we did not receive from Free State as yet, and we will keep on following up. And to the other question, my DG will, as he indicated, be able to respond to. Thank you.
Thank you, DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and the other members for the question. There was a question from Honorable Brink on the financial implications now that following the recognition of coin fund leaders, there will be more leaders for which there will be remuneration implications. At this stage, Honorable Brink and Honorable Chair, we don't have a finalized costing exercise. The difficulty was that this was done in a context where it was not known in terms of the number of applications that would be received and the number of leaders that will finally qualify. So we've got a process that is running with National Treasury now, because in discussion with National Treasury, the agreement was that let's not do this as an exercise that each individual province is expected to go through, but let's go through this as a coordinated exercise, coordinated by ourselves and National Treasury. And as it stands now, we have a process through what National Treasury called the Technical Committee on Finance, which is led by the Intergovernmental Relations Branch of National Treasury and brings together colleagues from treasuries in different provinces. And this matter is on the table for the Technical Committee on Finance, so that we guide one another with the provinces as the process unfolds to have a much more realistic and accurate calculation of what the financial implications would be. And certainly as that information becomes concrete, we will be able to share it with the committee. There was also a question about from Honorable Khalid. I think the question was about what happens to applications received after the cutoff point of March 2024. Now, in terms of the TKLA, there is a provision in the Act when the need arises for the lifespan of the Commission to be extended. But what should be taken into consideration is that, just like it is the case with recognition of traditional leaders, the Act provides for provincial administration to take over that responsibility, which means that premiers get empowered to put in place mechanisms where, post that period, they can then make sure that these applications can continue to be received, they can continue to be investigated, and then recommendations can be made for recognition. I'm saying it's similar to that of traditional leaders, because even after, beyond the lifespan of the commission that was initially established, the Nklapo Commission, Tolo Commission, there are requests for recognition for traditional leadership, senior traditional leadership, that continue to be received by provinces. And provinces are empowered through the offices of the premiers to put in place measures to process those applications and make sure that if the applicants qualify, they are duly recognized. So in case there would be those that would come long after the term of office of the commission has come to an end, the Act empowers the provincial administration to process those applications after thorough investigations. There was also a question from Honorable Khalidi about municipal councils who, in light of the provisions of the TKLA, and I would imagine in particular the amended Section 81 of the Municipal Structures Act, which we know this committee has raised a number of times to FALGA about the amendments that they are effecting to incorporate the new provisions of legislation. This is ongoing work, Honorable Khalidi, that we are doing with FALGA. If we could be allowed to be able to return to the committee at a later stage, once we have made sure that we verified the information between ourselves and FALGA on the municipal councils that have been able to do these amendments in response to the provisions of the new legislation. I think those are the additional questions there that I just wanted to respond to, in addition to the response that the Memo Khaladi has provided. Thank you, Honor.
I don't seem to see any follow-ups. In the light of that, then I assume the Deputy Minister is still not here. If he is around, if not, then DG, can you make some closing remarks?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, once again, and the Honorable Members.
In fact, in your closing remarks, by the way, we are informed that there's a king who passed on, the king of Amambondo, the king Zanozuko. I am not sure, there seems to be, we just hear about some of these things, but we should be relying on yourselves to understand what is going on. As earlier indicated, we are public representatives, so we come across some of these issues generally but we don't want to interact with issues generally. So in your comments, if you can as well talk to that.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think that our Deputy Minister, the Honorable Deputy Minister Ngadimeng, is still on the platform. So it may be that the final closing remarks will come from her. But just some comments to in the point that you have raised, Honorable Chair. Our apologies that this has not been communicated formally to the committee. Indeed, it is the King of Amampondo, King Jelovuyo Skau Zalozuko. This was the first king to be recognized in that capacity during the term of the presidency of His Excellency President Cyril Ramaphosa. The others were recognized before his term of office. It was in 2018 when he was recognized. Unfortunately, Kumkani has not been well, and he passed away after being admitted at the hospital. This past week, together with the Deputy Minister Mabela, Deputy Minister Squacha, Deputy Minister Kaba, and the Chair of the National House of Khoisan and Traditional Leaders, we went to visit the family in Dimakude to start the process of talking about preparations, and the family advised that they intend to plant the remains of Kumkani on the 21st of June, which is a Tuesday. They were liaising also with the presidency because they wanted have the president or his delegate to be present at the occasion. So that is the date that has been provided. But other things, we stand advised by the family, we will make sure that as these updates come to our attention, they will be shared with the secretariat of the committee as well. Our apologies for that, Honourable Chair. But as I indicated, that since I think that the Honourable Deputy Minister Ngadimeng is still in the platform, perhaps we make a request through you, Chairperson, that the closing comments come from there. Thanks, Honourable Chair.
Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Allow me not to switch on my camera. I was struggling with the connectivity. Chair, thank you very much on behalf of the Department, the DCOC and Traditional Affairs, one, for the opportunity to come and present as mandated legally so, but also to seek counsel and guidance from members of parliament in your good self on some of the issues, on how we could deal with the issues, but also to account on areas where you think we are possibly not putting our best foot forward. And this comes as a commitment, Chair, from both teams, that we will go back and relook into some of the issues that you needed thorough details and make submissions, Honorable Khalid, in areas where you had requested due dates and more subsequent information. But also make a commitment on behalf of DG Avril Williamson and DG Dupont for that key information needs to be sent in a formal manner on activities that are happening, so that honorable members do not just come across them. It's not only in traditional affairs, but you know, Chair, you will frequently send a message or a request or a question on some of the key activities or whatever you might have come across, just as an update constantly through your office so that it could flow through the committee. It has been a beautiful morning since 9 o'clock to now, Chair. I don't intend to spoil your meeting first, but thank you very much for the opportunity. Looking forward for the next one. Gabon.
Thank you very much. That then was a good closure of the meeting. I concur with the Deputy Minister, the meeting is closed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, members, and thank you for watching. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.